And a very pleasant good evening to you. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. We're here till 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and truth is our bitch on this show. We're happy to be with you, and we got Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard here. Tons and tons of interesting news. Also news that, was released today. It's news, made the radio press, that we have announced our partnership with the fine people at WYD.
Oh, that's good. Screw it up right out of the gate.
It's Ron Hartenbaum's company. And Ron is a longtime radio producer. I've known Ron since the 80s. I've known Ron since the days at Westwood One. I've known Ron since those glory days at Westwood One when Norm Pattis would come storming out of his office and saying, "No, no, 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 no. Nobody's pulling that stuff with me. No, 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 no."
He didn't, did he really?
Oh, yeah. Norm would come bouncing out of there just, hey, let me tell you guys something. I mean, he's a good guy, you know. And Ron was one of his sales guys, and I was a producer and a voice talent, if you want to call that talent. And,
Well, wasn't you talented?
Yes, I was talented, you know, but in any event, I was, you know. So Ron and I have been acquainted for a long time, and he has been producing Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, I believe Mike Malloy. And I, just so you don't get any ideas, as I said during our pre-show, you can't look at talk radio anymore, folks. I know that I'm speaking to you. You are my listeners, and you're my audience, and I'm forever grateful for you. Believe me when I tell you. But you cannot look at this as a liberal versus conservative thing, because that's not what we're talking about. A profession where the veneer is the politics, and the veneer is really the content. I'm talking about the working behind the scenes mechanics. Whether Ron is producing liberal hosts, conservative hosts, doesn't make any difference. Stephanie's very funny. Tom Hartman's very talented. Mike Malloy's a talented guy. I used to work with Mike in Atlanta. So, you know, I know all of these guys one way or another. It's that he's a good producer, a good manager. He's a guy that supports talent. And we're very, very lucky to be with Ron and with his company and with Dial Global. Everybody, fantastic. Thank you very much. If I said anything today in any of the meetings that push, you know, kind of rub you the wrong way, if I was too pushy, if I was, you know, just...
can I ask...
Oh, Phil, I hope you didn't do that, because you do have a tendency,
Yeah, you have a tendency, Mr. Henry, to go, F it.
Yeah, you wouldn't say F, were you?
Did you? Were you using the language?
I wasn't using any... What are you talking about?
You have a tendency sometimes go... F it all. I'm going home and to bed.
Yes, a lot of times you'll do that. And I don't mean, I know there's people listening, Phil. You're a great business person. You're a great professional. But a lot of times you'll say, MFU and your mother, I'm going home to nap.
No, I've never said MFU and your mother. By the way, what sense does that make?
What?
MFU and your mother.
Well, I don't know, Phil. I'm not conversant with these words. Good God.
Yeah, I'm saying Ms. Gray is not going to know.
Oh, is that right? Well, I'm so deeply sorry, Margaret.
Well, are you trying to say that I'm walking around all day long with the filth dripping off of my lip? I don't think so.
Well, not that dripping off your... Well, I better not say.
Yeah, come here.
Don't be hitting on people, okay?
Oh, okay. I won't be hitting on people.
In any event... So we had a very good series of meetings today with all kinds of wonderful people, and thank you very much for supporting us. And you probably saw the press release because I posted it 58,000 times over on Facebook. And what's the note, bud?
You didn't bring it up?
No, I'm not going to bring that up. No, I'm not going to bring that up.
What is it? Here, let me see.
No, don't.
Sit on my Facebook. You really are filthy, you know that?
I thought it'd be a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea, you jackass.
What is it?
Sit on my Facebook.
What's that about?
It's a, what you do is you get a name, okay? You get a name, and then a name.
You know what you're doing? You're just thinking it up as you go. You just like the name Sit on My Facebook, and so you thought you'd come up with some bullcrap promotion to go along with it.
No, here's what you do. You get a name.
Well, you knock it off with a get a name.
What are you trying to say?
You get a name and you sit on it. And then you own it. See?
You get a name and you sit on it, then you... What name? What name would you suggest?
You can, like, do you already have Phil Hendry?
Yes. Well, take it easy, bud. God, you look like you're about to pass out.
You know, it's just your way of trying to come up with filth, filth, and more filth. And that is what this... I give you credit, Phil, for moving past it, but I think these other two, they live in a world of dirt. Just a world of smut.
No, I don't. Ray, I don't know. What do you mean about sit on Facebook?
Well, in any event, bud, that's the only reason why you came up with a stupid thing, because you happen to think the name's funny.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do, because last night I saw you in the office going, I go, what the hell are you laughing at? Sit on my Facebook.
Well, it was funny then.
Is it funny now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, we got some things to talk about. We were talking about the world of broadcasting, and you know, in these troubled times that we live in, God, it's hot in here. When are we going to get, are we getting a swamp cooler or not?
Mr. Allen, you don't say you want a swamp cooler.
Yeah, you're saying you don't want one.
I don't want a swamp cooler that's loud, okay?
Well, then buy one that isn't loud, because this place is like, this is like Panama when they were digging the canal. My God, it's, oh.
I know, it's hotter than hell in here.
You're going to get yellow fever.
Well, I don't think we'll get yellow fever, but I can tell you that it is... I feel as if I've been taken hostage by a group of Stone Age tribesmen.
Yes?
Oh, you know what? Go to hell. What are you laughing at?
Well, Margaret, every time you go into a whisper, I know there was going to be something in there about being tied down and molested or something.
Yes, because this is generally the weather when that happens.
You gonna go to the bathroom?
Yes, where are the paper towels?
Got new toilet paper.
No, I said paper towels. How many times? Get some paper towels in this funky joint.
Did you get them?
No, I'll go get them now.
Get some paper towels in this funky joint?
Yes.
All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So we're going to be talking here as we stagger into the show here this evening about these radio hosts that got canned in Atlanta, three of them. This won't go away. I mean, you know, you hear about guys getting fired and you just move on. But this won't go away because it was pretty tough. It's pretty rough, pretty tough. You know, what is your target? What is the target of your satire? Opie and Anthony, for instance. Opie and Anthony had the sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral stunt. They got canned from WNEW, but they came back stronger and better than ever on XM Sirius. Why? Because the target was perceived to be, and correctly so, the Catholic Church. Now, the execution, some may argue, might have been a bit ham-fisted, but the target was the Catholic Church, a legitimate target of satire. A lot of people got upset because it was in a church, which is a hallowed place, etc. Nonetheless, the perception was that it was targeting the Catholic Church. Bang, dead on, good satire. So the radio station fired him because there was an uproar from a minority of people, I would say. But in the end, the guys went on and their show maintained a successful presence. So I think there's an example of, while it's controversial, the target was a good target. The audience forgave them. If they ever needed to forgive them in the first place. Then you take these guys, these three hosts from Atlanta, and what's their target? Their target is a guy with Lou Gehrig's disease. And that is the disease, as you know, that wastes away the muscle and the nervous system of the individual, the neurological system of the individual. And you wind up just a wasted away, paralyzed person. There's nothing pretty about Lou Gehrig's disease. And these cats were making fun of this man's speech, so on and so forth. Wrong target, man. You want to target the medical establishment? Fine. You want to target the guy that makes the wheelchairs? Fine. You want to target anything or anybody other than the guy? You got to understand this. So we'll come back, we'll talk about this, and I'll tell you what I think may be the problem with those guys and others like them. And they have been reprinting, by the way, the Don Imus got fired story, the nappy-headed hoe. Completely, not completely different, but different enough, whereby, again, Imus survived, came back. These guys may, but I don't think there's, I don't think these guys are funny. Maybe that's it. They probably won't succeed because they suck. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I want to tell you that the world-famous Phil Hendry Show now has a mobile site, bud. Cut. Yes, a mobile site can be yours if you have a mobile phone and if you have a mobile device, if you are mobile, Jack. Everything about the Phil Hendry Show is now mobile. Going mobile, if you will, and or mobile.
All right, Phil, enough already.
Excuse me. So anyway, we have a mobile site, and all you have to do is log on to philhendryshow.com. Bang, there it is. The login, the sign-up, the shop right there for you. Log in, and it is, I love it. And we developed this mobile site. We perfected, I should say, based upon some beta testing that we did with our Backstage Pass members. We thank those members who were involved in allowing us and helping us to test out the mobile site and get it up to the maximum grooviness that it am at now. And we're very proud of it. So by all means, check it out. Get a Backstage Pass and use the use our mobile site. It's only $9.99 a month, and you have access to thousands and 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 thousands of hours of audio right there at philhendryshow.com, along with a video cast, along with so many other things. It's philhendryshow.com, now fully mobile. Not only our live streaming video, but the site itself. We're going to bring on Herb Sewell to talk about this. Herb spent time at Atascadero Forensic Hospital for, well, shall we just say, I don't want to say crimes against humanity.
Well, that's better than what he did.
No, I think it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know, we can say that he was in prison for some things. Crimes against humanity.
Well, I thought that was a good default.
Yeah, say a crime against humanity. That's not bad. I mean,
yes, it is. That's what war criminals are guilty of. Crimes against a portion of humanity. Herb Sewell joining us. I can't tell you where because as part of the terms of his parole, he is at an undisclosed location, still very much under the auspices, or I should say under the scrutiny of the probation department in the state of California. Herb, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And Herb, you were at Atascadero for 8 years?
I was at Atascadero Forensic Hospital, yes, for 8 years. Dr. Suffolk. And the staff there, yes. I was under their medical, I guess if you want to call it medical care. You know, you could, I guess you could stretch the truth a little bit, say that.
Well, don't you think it was medical care?
No, dear lady, I don't call it medical care by any stretch of imagination. For my money, it was more of a ghoulish dissection, of my potentiality. Or as the young man says in the film that Phil loves so much, Carlito or Castillo, I forget his name.
Carlito.
Carlito's way. I'm maximizing my potentiality. I'm about to get some stuff that's about to explode. And that's been Herb Sewell. My entire life is maximizing my potentiality. I'm about to get into some S that's going to explode. And that's how I feel about that. But
all right, let's just move past you, because this isn't really about you, Herb, so much as it is about these chaps that, these guys on the radio that made jokes about the guy with the Lou Gehrig's disease. This is a three-man crew from a radio station in Atlanta. All three of them have been canned. The radio station, and I say this with all due respect, but I'm going to say it anyway, the radio station taking the usual route, which is, oh, it wasn't our fault. These guys just, and, you know, boy, I'll tell you what. When you cats, you're on the air and you hit it out of the park, everybody wants to take credit, but the minute you lay an egg, man, woo, you're on your own.
Well, Phil, I think that's the way it is in showbiz.
Phil, that is absolutely right.
Yeah, I think that's the way it is in showbiz. I think you have to just sort of, pardon me for saying it this way, you know, I think you have to suck on that. You know what I mean?
Well, you, what do you mean, suck on that?
Well, I think that's just the reality. And I think also, if I may be so bold as to mention, I think that you were singing your own praises as if your own you-know-what doesn't smell just a few moments ago when you were talking about your I believe it was off the air, wasn't it, Margaret?
Yes, Herb, off the air, Phil, you were talking during the break about how you've got a wonderful sixth sense for these things. You know?
Yeah, you're saying you'd never, you know, make a mistake.
And I wouldn't.
All right, that may well be the case. But I'd like to alert the audience to one thing. Now, you didn't say this on the air. You didn't say this on the air. But didn't you tell me that a friend of yours, following the explosion of the What was the thing that flies through space? The space shuttle. The space shuttle. You know the one?
I know of several space shuttles, yeah.
All right. The one that blew up, the Challenger, you said that Bob Hudson's joke about how they were freebasing Tang was a home run.
No, I did not.
God, no. Oh, Phil, please, my heart, be still. You know, you're not going to sit there and lie, are you?
I'm telling you I never said that. I said it was a funny joke years later.
You didn't really say that. Did you really say that?
Yeah, Monsieur, that was a Challenger blowed up. And everybody on it, everyone loved.
Well, that's what Phil said.
No, I did not say that. What I said was the following thing. When Bob Hudson...
Who, by the way, is one of your idols.
Yes, Emperor Hudson was one of my idols. Yes, yes. I don't have a problem admitting that.
The very man that made the freebasing Tang joke.
Let me tell you something. We all mess up in life, and that joke was at least, in retrospect, funny. It was not funny at the time.
Oh, my sweet feathery God. You're saying, you're sitting here before your audience, and you three are witnesses, that was funny.
Are you telling me that's not a funny line? The morning after, no, it wasn't.
I think that was funny, yeah.
No, it's not. It's in bad taste.
Oh, aren't you just a good little Boy Scout?
Well, I mean, I can admit to some feeling I of mirth. I can admit to some, you know, feeling that it does tickle or warm the cockles of my heart a bit, but I dare say I wouldn't call it a home run.
I didn't call it a home run either. Here's what happened, so I can tell the audience. The Challenger exploded in January of 1986. I believe it was January of 1986.
Hey! Well, look at that. Phil got the news right.
I'm not done, thank you very much. That morning or the next morning, no, that morning, I think, it happened in the morning on the West Coast. And one of the local disc jockeys here in L.A., a guy named Bob Hudson, said that the reason why the Challenger blew up, they were freebasing Tang.
Oh, my, what a hypocrite. You just were giving Phil crap.
Yeah, what's so funny about that?
That's 30 years later.
But you just got done saying that Phil... you know, made a mistake.
Well,
I think that you have shown that you're just not fit for the kind of company and intellect that Margaret and I represent.
Thank you, Herb.
You're welcome. Now...
Oh, well, isn't that just an elite group? That's fantastic. You and Margaret. You guys having tea and maybe dunking pound cake later on?
Woo! That's a good one.
You think that's a good one, huh? Dickman, what I wouldn't give.
All right, hold on. Now, I want to finish what I'm saying. Bob Hudson got on the air, and he said they were freebasing Tang. Now, that was in bad taste. It was the wrong thing to say because the Challenger had just exploded. The country was in shock. The country was bereaved. The president was going to address the nation. It was a terrible, terrible thing. It was horrible. And the school teacher, Krista McAuliffe, everybody was so impressed with her. And so it was a very sad day. And, you know, Bob Hudson was one of the longtime greats in Los Angeles radio. One of the funniest cats you would ever want to hear. His timing sucked. His sense as to the timing was bad. That's a far cry from saying a dude in a wheelchair with Lou Gehrig's disease is funny. Because that cat ain't going to be funny tomorrow. He ain't going to be funny in a year. It's not going to be funny in 10 years or 30 years.
Well, I don't know about that. What if the taste that we have 30 years from now, due to some kind of implant or some sort of brain programming, you know, the remarkable thing...
Oh, would you come on, Herb? I mean, the fact is we're talking about a man that's wasting away with Lou Gehrig's disease, you know.
You said Lou's Gehrig's disease. Is it one Lou or two?
Yeah, how many is it, man? Is it Lou's Gehrig's?
Yeah, if it's a plural attorney general, it's attorneys general. If it's plural Lou Gehrig, maybe it's plural Lou's Gehrig. You know what I mean, Mr. Henry? You know what I mean?
Will you shut up? We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to waste more time and not get to the point further on this story about the three guys in Atlanta with their rotten humor. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Herb Sewell is with us. We'll be right back. Thank you, Herb, for hanging on.
My pleasure, Phil. Now then, Lou's Gehrig. I like that. I like that as well.
Elvis, Bill Henry Show.
And I'd appreciate if you wouldn't do that.
Margaret, I got my shirt open because it's hot.
Bill, this is Margaret. Margaret, are you getting hot looking at that?
An absolutely irresponsible and childish thing to ask. We're on the air right now.
I'm sorry, I did not know that we were on the air. I would not have said that.
And I think you're lying.
Why do you think I'm lying?
Because I think you are the very thing that Phil has been talking about. The sociopath, I forget how you said that.
Talking about a sociopath?
What is that?
The sociopath, hold on for just a moment. I do have empathy. I do have a great deal of feeling for me. You know, how'd you like that one, Phil? How'd you like the timing on that one?
That was great.
Give a Tommy on that one. What's that about?
What are you about, Dickman? That's a better question. What are you all about? That's what I'd like to know. I'm Herb Sewell. I'm not Margaret Gray. I'm Herb Sewell. I'd like to know what you're about.
Now, that's a good question, Mr. Sewell. What are you all about?
I'll tell you what I'm all about. I'm all about being normal and not weird and everything.
Are you sure about that? Wow. That guy, you just opened the door and I walked right through, teed it up, and I hit it out. Say whatever you want. Say what you will. Oh.
All right. So anyway, getting back to my story, Bob Hudson said they were freebasing Tang. He got fired. Now, the chap that fired him, I know very well, is a great guy, as a general manager, a very well-known radio executive here in Los Angeles. He said, I knew when I heard the line, I had to fire him.
Now, why did he say that?
Because it was quite obviously very insensitive.
I'm sorry. Was I asking you? I'm asking Mr. Henry. Thank you very, very deeply.
Well, this is a panel program, Herb.
A panel? Well, I didn't know, Phil. I didn't know we're doing a panel show. Is that what we're doing here? You know, is Ma and Pa on the panel? You know?
Ma and Pa on the panel?
What's that?
You said, is Ma and Pa on the panel?
He said, is Margaret on the panel?
Yes, thank you, Phil. Ears, I'll talk to you after the program.
No, you're not. I don't want to talk. You're not getting me alone in a dark corner.
What?
All right, hold on, everybody.
Get you alone in a dark corner to do what? Probably try to take some measurements, see if there's any radiation.
Yeah, I'll probably get a Geiger counter on you.
That's a very, very good idea.
All right, are you guys done? Now, Bob Hudson was fired that day, and that was the end of that. Now, here's the thing about that. That joke, over time, has become funny. I'm sorry, but it has. I mean no disrespect to the people that lost their lives that day, but as it's been told over the years, they were freebasing Tang, people have gotten a chuckle out of it. The timing was lousy, everything about the Challenger blowing up was lousy. It was just a lousy day. Now, as I said, there's nothing that's funny about these guys telling these jokes about a man with Lou Gehrig's disease. As I said, it won't ever be funny. Do you agree, Herb?
Well, I think that when you talk about Lou Gehrig's disease, again, you're talking to a man. I spent 8 years at Tascadero. I not only had electroshock, I had insulin shock. There is a very, very good possibility that I was damaged by some of the experiments, ghoulish though they may have been, some of the experimentation on my brain. They experimented on my brain for quite some time. And in experimenting on my brain, God knows, with these ghoulish scientists, mad though they be...
All right, let's just hold on for a minute, because now you're going way off the deep end here, all right? You had electroshock, you had insulin shock, you weren't tortured.
Oh, is that right? Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you're so so well-versed in what happened to me, Mr. Henry. You see, Mother was like that, and you know what happened to Mother, don't you?
No, I don't.
Good. I hope no one ever does find out what happened to Mother, because she was exactly like you. She said the things that you say, and the things that you say, she said, and I didn't like the stuff she said.
Well, Herb, that sounds a little threatening.
I'm not threatening Phil. He knows I wouldn't threaten him. But Mother said things that I didn't like. I didn't like the things what she said. And see, this is where I begin to lose my intellect. When I start to get angry and I think about Mother, I think about that doll that used to talk to Telly, what's his name? Remember the talking doll on the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
All right. What do you mean, just yeah? Doesn't that resonate with you?
Yes, I know. What about it?
Well, I feel like Telly Savalas. When I talk about Mother, I think she's a doll, and I think I'm Telly Savalas. And I don't like the things she says.
That's what Telly Savalas said about the doll.
Hey, baby, there you go. Hey. Woo! That's it. So I would say, Phil, that...
I think we're all done with you now, Herb. Thank you very much. Would you please hang up on him?
Oh, Where does she get off?
Now, hold on. We've gotten your take, and we do have to move on because we have David G. Hall, who is our vice president of syndication.
Well, I'd like to get on the air with that gentleman. I think it would be very... I think the audience would like to hear me and David G. Hall. Is that him there? Yeah, this is David G. Hall. Yeah, leave Herb on. I don't mind talking to him. Herb, how you been? How have I been? I've been as good as I can be, I guess. I mean, I've been remanded to the halfway house, and I was asking for some recommendation from you, and you didn't give it. No, we're not going to give any recommendation that you be released from a halfway house, Herb, because I think that you are still a danger to society.
Now, where are you, David?
I'm in the parking garage here. We're about to go into the Old Mart to have something to eat with Daphne. The car alarm's going off again. Now, the last time I heard you on the program, your car alarm was going off. Are you retarded or something? What is that supposed to mean?
Let's not use that word.
I don't like that word at all.
What is that supposed to mean? Well, what it's supposed to mean is, why do you have that car with a broken car alarm? I got Daphne's, honey. Go over there and turn it off. The last time you were on the program, you had her going over there and turning it off. You're driving me nuts! You know something, Sewell? I think you are nuts. And one false move from you, we'll send you back to a Tascadero butt up with a flower in it. I will tell you this much, Mr. Hall. I do appreciate the good word you put in for me when I was released and I went to the halfway house. By the way, does it make me a pervert that I am completely hot for Pink? I don't think so, no. Is she of age? I hope not. Well,
all right, enough of the gags. Okay, are you serious about being hot for Pink?
I'm dead serious. I think she is absolutely the most luscious, most beautiful, wonderful example of a young woman. Why, I wouldn't mind taking her out for cocktails. Dancing, dining, back to her place, spend her money, sleep in her bed. Well, now you're a guy after my own heart.
All right, so why are you on the air with us, David?
Well, the reason why... Hold on. Turn it off, will you? Why don't you go over and show her fat rear end how to do it? How dare you? That's the woman I love. Well, you pretty much dropped the... You not only let the cat out of the bag, you threw the cat out of a moving car when you said that she wanted to go get donuts the other night. No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. I do remember you saying that.
You did. Mr. Hall, I heard you said that Daphne wanted to stop for another sixer of donuts.
What do you mean another sixer of donuts? Yes, she wanted to stop for a dozen. And you said she wanted to stop for a dozen coolers. It was coolers or bust. Oh, my bare rear end. I know that Daphne has been battling a little bit of the bulge, but as you know, I happen to... Look at this. Honey, turn it on. Turn the alert. You used the key to the car. You've got one stupid... Well, excuse me for saying. You've got one stupid girlfriend there. You know something, Sewell? You're the guy that pushed your wife out of a moving car in the grapevine. Yes. Give you any ideas? Oh, man. You know, Phil, the only thing I want to say is that you've got to watch what you say on the radio because the audience will never forgive you for a tasteless gag. They'll never forgive you for a very tasteless, tasteless gag. Now, Daphne, come on over here for your Dramamine. That's not funny.
No, that's not funny.
Not funny?
No.
I don't think... I heard the word Dramamine, so I pretty much know where you were going with it. That's not funny.
Yeah, it's probably over the line, Mr. Hall.
Turn it off for you. You know what? Daphne, honey, let's go get... You turn it off! Is that Jack Ball gone? Because I'm telling you, Phil.
Yeah, he's gone. And you know what? You're going to be gone too, Herb. Thank you very much.
I didn't do anything wrong. All right.
So there's Herb Sewell and David G. Hall. And once again, David with that car alarm. I'm telling you.
Well, he keeps telling the girlfriend, Daphne.
You ever met Daphne? You even know what? What is she about?
I met her briefly about a week ago when they were coming into the station. She's a very beautiful girl. She's got the hips, yes. The boobs, yes. She's everything that you can imagine. A very rounded and well-proportioned, but very rounded young lady is. She is, yes, Latin. She...
Well, that, but what do you mean, like Mexican?
I don't think it matters. What do you mean, Mexican?
Well, when you say Latin...
It doesn't matter. When I say Latin, I'm saying Latin. All right?
I totally agree, Margaret.
But yes, probably Mexican.
Okay, so you just... Well, then why would you give them...
Why would I give them what?
Why are you giving them a hard time if you don't like them saying that, and then you say, well, yeah, probably?
Well, I was thinking about it, and I thought, well...
Yes, anyway, I saw her, too, and a very nice lady, but she's not too bright.
Well, when all he does is keep her in coolers.
I think that that's the basis of their love, that... the basis of a very abiding and a very deep, and I think a love that will endure, a love that will last through the years. And I think the basis for that, Phil, is, yes, to put it in the way that Bud put it, the young lady enjoys the crueler, she enjoys the bear claw, etc., etc. And I think you keep a young lady like that in crullers, so on and so forth, make all the stupid little juvenile jokes you want, and love is yours. Love is lasting. Love is freeing. Love is simple, and love is believing. I'm trying to make it rhyme with freeing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were doing.
I was trying to write a poem.
Oh, okay. Love is lasting. Love is freeing. Love is simple. Love is...
Love is creaky.
Creaky? What a... I hate it when I can't finish something and the rest of you are even worse at it.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Dave Chappelle is back. Dave Chappelle to headline a month-long comedy tour. We'll give you some details on that when we come back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
He's pretty. He's probably the funniest one that there ever was.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are here with you every night till 1 o'clock. What the hell is this, man?
I'm sorry, Phil. I asked Bud to play this. This is... Yeah, yeah. Do it, baby. Talk to me. Talk to me. Yeah. This is... You hear that? Boy, it wouldn't take a lot of money to turn her head, okay?
Turn her head in what direction?
Straight down.
Oh, man.
Give me a break. Yeah, see, this young lady, all she needs, she needs a fat weekly allowance. I've got it fat, and I've got the money, too.
Okay,
you know, would you please, because I love this song, I'd like to sing it. Hold on for a minute.
Now, please, don't sing it, Margaret.
Hold on. I'm coming up, so you'd better get the party started. See, this is my... If I was a contemporary singer now...
Would you please shut it? Would you please shut what passes for your mouth?
You know, I won't be spoken to like that, even by a psychotic bastard like you. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You see the step I'm doing, Bud?
Oh, yeah, sorta.
Well, what do you mean, yeah? You've got to come out and look. See, watch my feet. One, two. Toe to the back, toe to the front. Toe to the back, toe to the front.
I can only imagine what that looks like.
If you wouldn't mind, would you shut him up? So here we go. The party started.
Go! That's not the way to do it. You're singing when she's not singing.
I ought to know what I'm doing, not you, all right? You barely... Talk about not being able to carry a tune. You can't even carry a word.
Why are you giving the kid a hard time, Margaret? Listening to you makes me wish I was born a woman just so I could have a fair fight with you.
What?
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Oh, God, would you shut this pervert off? He's sickening me. Doo-doo. Doo. You see, Phil, watch. Phil, are you looking?
At what? You dancing?
Yes, watch my feet. Toe-toe. Toe-toe. Toe-toe-toe. Heel. Toe-toe-toe.
Yeah, using your toe a lot.
That was great using a toe a lot.
So I'm using my toe a lot. So what? Turn that garbage off, would you please? God almighty. I'm using my toe a lot. You guys got a problem with that? You can take it up with me after the show. How about that?
I didn't want to fight about it.
Yeah, me neither.
What happened to the music, please?
I asked them to turn it off. I was trying to make a point about the toe, toe, toe.
No one cares about your toe, Margaret. No one cares about your toe, your heel. No one cares about your feet. I was trying to listen to Pink.
You're not listening to Pink. You're fantasizing about her, and I'm sure all of it is criminal in intent.
You know something, ma'am? Phil, I'd like to thank you. I'm going to leave your program now because I can't sit and listen to the sheer, striking, shrieking hypocrisy that comes from that woman's lips.
What hypocrisy are you talking about?
You're talking about all of this perversion, and yet there you are trying to co-opt this young woman's music for your own purposes. You sing like a caterwauling banshee. You probably dance as if you have Lou Gehrig's disease, some dancer's version of Lou Gehrig's disease. You probably look like something that came right out of a crypt. You look...
I want you to call him. That man is going to apologize for all of that.
Margaret, you know, it's Herb. It's Herb.
He's got a criminal record and everything.
I don't. Do you think that scares me? Do you think that scares me?
This way, you ought to be a friend. He's got a criminal record. A lot of people think he killed his mother.
Well, if he did kill his mother, all the better that we find out and we put him away for the rest of his infernal life. The things he said to me.
You know what? The two of you guys were getting on each other's nerves. Neither one of you would back down. I think what happened, and it was fine. And what, Bud, the next time you play a song without consulting me first...
I did. I asked you, do you like Pink? And you said, yeah, you did.
I didn't...
You didn't know you were talking about the singer.
You shut up.
Oh, my God, the filth, the dirt. You three must soak your brains in sperm.
Okay, Margaret.
I'm going to the bath.
Get out of here.
Don't you tell me to get out of the bath.
Oh, man, what a sick... Oh.
What'd she say?
Never mind what she said.
Where are the paper towels, Bud?
What is it with you and paper towels?
Can't use toilet paper. It's not good enough.
Man, I'm telling you, this is the only radio show in the history of man on this planet that has a staff that's nuts. That's number one. I mean, certifiably. Then one of them is always going to the bathroom right in the middle of the, you know, segment, and the toilet paper's not good enough. She's howling for paper towels. How long before you're howling for, like, rolls of canvas?
Oh, my God, what an insult.
Yeah? Probably will happen anyway. All right, so, folks, thank you for being with us here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dave Chappelle is making his most substantial return to stand-up comedy with a month-long tour for the Funny or Die Channel. The comedian will headline the Oddball Comedy and Curiosity Festival, which kicks off August 23rd in Austin, Tejas. The 13-day, two-stage tour concludes September 2-2 in Phoenix. The 39-year-old Chappelle has occasionally performed impromptu sets in comedy clubs, but he's largely avoided comedy and public life since abruptly leaving his hit Comedy Central series Chappelle's Show in 2005. Also on the bill are Flight of the Conchords, Hannibal Buress, Kristen Schaal, and Al Madrigal. The... Oddball Comedy and Curiosity Festival. What do you think about that?
I think it's about time the guy ought to come back because the comedy is stinks.
Yeah, I wouldn't say comedy stinks. It's good to have him back, though.
I followed Dave Chappelle on Twitter very briefly, but he, you know, it looked like for him, and I think there's a certain group of people, whether they're performers, whether they're just average everyday folks, or whether they're in entertainment or in business, that Twitter just ain't getting it done for them. They don't get it. They don't want to do it. It sucks. And I respect that, you know. And Chappelle, for a while, it seemed like that. And then he went to doing kind of normal tweets, and I don't know what he's doing now.
Okay, I'm about to loop that up.
But the first tweet I ever saw of Dave Chappelle's was, y'all ain't S-word.
Yeah, I saw that one. That's pretty funny. I retweeted it, too.
We didn't retweeted it.
You retweeted it?
Yeah.
Y'all ain't squat is basically what he said. And, yeah, I think it had like 95 billion retweets. All right, coming back here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, go to our website, check out our new mobile site, and I think you'll love it. Get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show because that's going to be a beautiful thing as well. Man, you talk about content, Jack. Just the archives from 2006 and before alone. Those are the real classics anyway, and we do feature a daily podcast from those archives every single day. So if you are a Backstage Pass member, you get a dose of comedy each and every day with the classic podcast, as well as our daily show podcast, and I'm guaranteeing that it's funny. So here's what I'm saying. You get a Backstage Pass at least once a day delivered up to you. Delivered up to you on a silver platter is a classic podcast, just a slice o' life from our archives that will make you laugh, it'll make you cry, it'll make you wet yourself, whatever you so desire, and you'll feel good about it, okay?
Well, when you wet yourself, you feel good about it.
Yes, if you wet yourself, if you vomit, you know.
A lot of people are going to vomit on account of their laughing.
Right. So if you wet yourself, if you vomit, anything that might be negative but actually is associated with you laughing, that it's going to be great. So get a backstage pass, philhendryshow.com. It's philhendryshow.com. Coming up, we'll give you more in-depth analyses of the Atlanta radio host fired for making fun of Steve Gleason. And we'll go back to the old Don Imus nappy-headed hoe bit for some perspective, if you will. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Gotta do that.
Phil Hendry. Shores El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
All right, Margaret.
Yes, this is going to be, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. And Phil, do you want to do any?
Yeah, just make sure to subscribe to our website. But we are kicking off the hour here with Margaret's version of Get the Party Started.
Yes, and you can hear Phil doesn't sound very excited because there's a prejudice that he has against, I think, women taking any prominent role in his program.
No, that's not it.
Do you mind if I finish what I've planned some comments I'd like to make?
Yeah, but that's just not it, okay? I'd rather you not say what you just said, okay?
In any event, I'm coming up, so you better get the party started. Now, yes, this is Pink's song, and yes, she did it in a very commendable way. And yes, there's no doubting that she is a fine young performer. And yes, she's much younger than me. However, I do believe, as a professional singer, I have some things to add to the song. 2, 3, 4. I will be doing this song, Phil, in one note only. Again, the Margaret Gray style. So you better get this party started. Although I might use another note. I'm coming out, so you better get this party started. 2, 3, 4. Get this party started Saturday night. Everybody's waiting for me to arrive. Sending out the message with my eyeball. Wait a minute. Wait.
Eyeball?
Wait a minute. Shut the music off, will you? Brains?
Don't call him Brains.
Yeah, what's that about?
Well, we'll discuss it later. First of all, what is it with the eyeball?
There's nothing about an eyeball.
Well, I changed it up. Said I'm going to get the party started with my eyeball.
I didn't ask for those lyrics. Who the hell do you think you're fooling with anyway? I've sung with the number one singers in the world. I do not sing with high school jive dropouts. Now,
You copying Buddy Rich?
Maybe. Let's do this again, and let's do this right. 2, 3, and. Now again, this is the Margaret Gray method, the one note with variation.
I'm coming out, so you better get the party started.
See what I'm doing? Isn't that great?
I'm out, so you better get the party started.
2, 3, get. This party started on a Saturday night. Everybody's waiting for me to arrive. Sending out the message to all of my friends. We'll be looking flashy in my Mercedes Benz. I got a lot of style and me got... What is this me got?
Well, that's the urban version.
Yeah, that's urban.
Turn it off before I vomit. Me got diamonds.
What do you mean that's the urban version?
Well, I changed it up a little bit.
Yeah, we just thought it'd sound better if Margaret come down off of her high horse and get the pole out of how it's wedged.
I don't have a pole wedged. Who do you think you're talking to?
Please don't hit me.
Well, then don't say I've got a pole jammed.
Well, he didn't exactly say that, Margaret.
He said I had a pole. Do it again and do it right.
All right, we don't have all night for this.
You got all night for me.
Margaret,
you've got all night for me, which is what I said to Frank the very first night. Well, and guess what?
He did have all night for you?
You better believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Get the Party Start. You know the name of this piece of garbage. Not piece. It's a very nice song. And two, three, and go. I'm coming out, so you better get this party started.
Turn it off. Turn it off.
What did you do?
I turned it off.
That is what... Oh, baby. You really want $300 worth, Phil? All you got to do is step up to the plate.
Margaret, I don't want $300 worth. All I'm asking is that the song ends somewhere along the line. We've just given you three shots at it, okay?
Yes, and I told you that this was going to be my one-note style.
Yeah, but you undo one note, you're going to...
I wasn't doing it like an... Oh, my God, you sound like a bellicose drunk in an alley.
Yeah, you almost said he sounded like a monkey.
I did not. Come here.
Wait a minute.
There.
Well, you asked for that, bud.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say you said that. He said that I said it.
I didn't say monkey.
No, she said monkey.
I said, I did not say.
All right, watch it, will you, for crying out loud. Look, you guys are hit. You know what you're doing? You're falling all over. What are you doing, you fools? You're falling all over everything here. I can't even. What happened to our? What happened to the screen? What happened to the? Good Lord. Something's wrong here, man. Now we got everything is messed up because you guys have been knocking stuff all over the place. In any event, folks, we're sorry. We apologize that this.
What are you babbling about? You sat there going.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Did you look at the video cast, man? You had a slide up there that I couldn't get off the screen. I had to do it because you're not paying attention.
I want to just. What I was trying to say, I didn't say monkey. You said monkey, bud. And then, Robert, you said you didn't say monkey. And I said, I know you didn't say monkey. And I didn't say monkey. Bud said.
Yeah, Bud said, I said monkey.
You guys got that figured out now?
What?
You got the monkey thing figured out?
Well, watch how you say monkey. My God, you're looking...
Yeah, you're looking down between her legs when you said that, Mr. Henry.
Are you out of your minds? Are you guys completely nuts? Or do you practice this crap before we go on the air?
What?
What do you mean I was looking between her legs when I said monkey?
And look at him laugh. Look at him laugh.
That's right. The funniest damn thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm pretty funny.
No one's asking you. I am humiliated.
Oh, will you give me a break? Number one. No one said monkey with any racial overtones. I was listening carefully. Number two. We heard three or four versions of you singing Party Started with your one-note style.
Oh, with your one-note style. So you don't like it?
Margaret, quite frankly... Who cares, man, if you can sing it with one note? Sing it! You know, it's got melody to it.
It has a melody to it. If you concentrate, it has a melody. And Pink isn't singing. Did you hear what she... I'm coming up, so... She's not singing. I'm doing a satire, okay? I'm doing a satirization of...
No, you're not. You're just thinking of that now.
Well, if you listen to Pink, she couldn't sing her way out of a wet paper bag.
Oh, you guys kill me, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. Everybody yelling at people.
You know, I gotta laugh to keep from crying. So we heard that, and we don't need to hear it anymore. Thank you very much.
Well, if Herb can come on here and talk about Pink like she's a piece of...
Herb likes Pink. What do you want from me, man? I don't know anything about it. All right, Steve Gleason in May 2013. There was a picture they had of Steve Gleason in May 2013. The three radio hosts were fired. Nick Cellini, Chris D'Amino, and Steak Shapiro.
What's that?
That's the name of a guy.
That's a Ted Bell dish.
That ain't a Ted Bell dish. Don't give me that crap.
Well, I think Ted's going to start that.
He's going to start what?
I think Ted is going to start a Steak Shapiro.
Why? Because of this guy?
I think so.
I think that would be a mistake.
Well, that's what I heard him saying. He said, oh, this is a great opportunity, a great marketing opportunity to start a Steak Shapiro, and that's what I think I'm going to do. And no one's going to tell me anything about it. No one can keep me from doing it. I'm Ted Bell. I do what I want when I want. Step up to the plate if you've got other ideas.
When did he say that?
I just imagine that he would say that.
Well, you know, Ted can do whatever, step up to the plate. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do. Nobody's going to tell him not to. Who's going to tell him? But I just, if he was to ask an opinion, if he was to say, gee, what do you guys think? I would say, you know, it's a stupid idea. And I don't, is that him?
Yeah, get Ted Bell on line number 2, sector 4.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Well, wait a minute, man, wait.
What happened to the, jingle, Phil?
Play it again.
Oh, you guys really know how to, you really know how to hurt a guy, you know that? You really know how to, turn, hey, Billy, shut the door. Shut the door!
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Is that David Hall's car?
Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're serving up, you got it, Steak Shapiro. I wanted to roll that out. I didn't want Henry to roll it out as part of a news story. Now I believe the brand has been tarnished. Yeah. Hey, David. Hey, Phil, I think your boss is, not your boss, but your partner's here.
Why?
Because I can hear his car. Hey, Joey, get one of the guys to go down the lot. I think that's David Hall's car. It's the one that's making a racket. Is that, hey, David, how you doing? Your car's making a racket. Hey, Daphne! Get out there and get the car fixed! How you doing? Good. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, man.
Will you get that girlfriend of yours out there and get the car shut off? Phil, we are going to be serving up Steak Shapiro, and it's this week at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now, I'm not trying to take advantage of a bad situation, but the guy's name, Steak Shapiro, is too good to pass up. The steak comes out. We put a little, you know, a little yarmulke on it or what have you. We're not gonna hit this too hard, okay? Do you want the Steak Shapiro? No, I don't. I think it's in bad taste. Okay, fine. We'll take it off the menu. I just want to see how it plays.
Wait a minute. You're gonna bring it out with a little yarmulke on it?
Yeah. It's not a big deal. It's Steak Shapiro. It's a gag because people are gonna say, "Oh, you mean the guy back in Atlanta that was making fun of the guy in the wheelchair?" Yeah, ha 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 ha. Sure, I'll have that. And will you, somebody turn that car off before I go out there and I put an explosive under it? I swear to God. I'm sorry, Phil. So in my opinion, I think that it could work. I don't know, you know, for, you know what, I can't take it any longer. I got to go. Hold on.
Where are you going?
I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going out to Hall's car. Hey, hold on, will you, Ted? I'll get her. No. I gave you your chance. You had your chance. Where is it? Yeah, give me that. Give me the fuse. Now, just put the...
What are you going to do?
Just take it easy, will you? Wire it up. Get behind the building. As soon as I hear this thing fire... Yeah, there it is. There it is. I knew it. Yeah! You gotta love that. You gotta love that. I'm in love with it.
You know, I heard a little bit of dead air.
Well...
So let me guess, you blew up David's car?
No, but I blew up a car right next to his because I was just, I'm not going to blow his car up. The guy's a good, customer. So I blew up one of our valet's cars. I'll get him a new one.
You did what?
I didn't blow up Hall's car. You think I'm going to blow up a customer's car? Jesus. You didn't blow my car up, did you? No, I didn't. Good man. So I blew up Amaro's car.
You blew up one of your valet's cars because you pissed at David's car for firing off.
Yes. I'm not blowing up a perfectly good a customer's car. It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. Understand? Here's what happens. Let's replay that. All right, everybody, get back. Yeah. All right, did you hear that? Now, let that ring down for your memory.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a break. So he's blowing up his employees' cars.
That's Ted Bell for you, and that's why I think he's certifiable, and that's why I do not think that the health board of the state of California and L.A. County should certify his restaurant this month. I'm Margaret Gray.
All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Let's hear it again.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, Jabba, or Google, or whoever you people are that have butchered my computer all to hell and back, the next time I get a suggestion to install a toolbar, oh, I hate you people so deeply, man.
What happened?
I put in some toolbar on the main internet computer that we use so that we can show, you know, to our fine viewing public there on Phil TV a variety of different videos, and it is as slow as hell, man, and it all started when I put this bloody toolbar in today. I think there's a freaking virus in it, man, if you want my honest opinion.
You're going to have to try to get the virus out of there.
I know. I'm going to have to get Alex in here tomorrow. You guys suck. Honest to God. What is it with all these toolbars? How many do I need? How many toolbars do you need in a lifetime?
Well, you know, it has a lot of different things you can do.
I maintain, and I will maintain until the day I drop, there is such a thing as getting outside and doing something other than sitting on your dead can working on a computer. Look, I need computers. I use computers in my work. I use computers in my broadcast. I use 5 computers. I have 5 computers that I use, each one actively in the broadcast. And so nobody can say that they use more. I mean, you know, there's probably a guy out there that uses more, but I can't imagine who. But I use plenty of damn computers during my work, episode. And even I don't need all of this crap. Look at this, man. You know, stop script, this, that, something else. So now I got to get Alex in here tomorrow. He's got to go into this computer. We got to de-louse, debug, de-virus, de-Snyder, everything.
De-Snyder.
Oh, God, I want to hurt him.
All right, hold on. But don't do the... I keep telling you.
Sorry.
And it's driving me ape. I'm telling you, it's driving me sheer ape with the stuff that I got to do with this, man. God.
Well, I don't know, man. You get another computer.
I may have to.
Do you want another toolbar? Google Chrome. And all of you guys blow, man. Blow.
Woo! It don't even abide the telling. Look at this. Here we go again. A script on this page may be busy or boo 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 boom. I'm telling you, I'm uninstalling everything. I'm going in after the show. I'm going into the menu there. I'm going to go into where all this crap has been installed and it's getting uninstalled, but good. And if there's a freaking Trojan horse in this thing.
What do you mean by Trojan horse?
Oh, that's the virus that was messing everybody up there for a while. I remember when, Phil, you were having a problem with that.
Yeah, we got a Trojan virus. They call it a Trojan virus because it's like the Trojan horse, you know. It comes in dressed as something. You think it's a regular application, and then it just, boom, just goes out into the universe that is your computer. And the one that infected the main computer we had about 4 or 5 months ago, maybe longer, we got when Osama bin Laden got killed. So I went over to a page of Osama bin Laden pictures.
Oh, yeah, man, that probably Al-Qaeda went over there and put all kind of virus in there.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda probably did it on account of they was pissed off that bin Laden got killed and everything.
Very well said. God.
Well, the guys are probably right. So that's what happened. So that's over 1 year ago. No, 2 years ago. And I went in there. God, how did I figure it was only 3 months ago? 2 years ago. So I went in, I've been looking for a picture of bin Laden, and yeah, I got a virus. And so we had to clean all of that crap out. And now I got it here on my internet computer. It's just pissing me off. God!
Well, get over it, Phil. You've got a radio show to do.
I am doing a radio show. I'm doing a radio show now. To the extent that this is being heard far and wide along these stations of the Phil Hendry Network, I'm telling you right now, and I wanted to play that Robin Thicke Blurred Line song because apparently he's pissing everybody off, which as far as I'm concerned is fantastic.
Robin Thicke, man, that's Alan Thicke's son. He's got to be a lame ass.
That doesn't mean he's a lame ass just because his dad's Alan Thicke. Wait a minute. Sheila Johnson, owner of a WNBA team. I'm looking here for the Robin Thicke story. Here it is. He is the son of Alan Thicke. Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines has been causing quite a stink around the world for both its creepy lyrics and accompanying stark naked pop video. This is the editorial opinion of Handbag.com. The song has become number one in basically every country around the globe and the fastest-selling single of the year. Yeah, that's why it's number one, because its lyrics are creepy and it's got a naked pop video. Get a clue, will you? So it must be a welcome relief for Thicke, as his last album, Love After War, didn't do so good. This is obviously somebody who doesn't like the guy.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, it starts out with a slam. It mentions that the song is number one, and then it mentions that his last album sucks, so it's somebody who doesn't like the guy. They don't like the name. They don't like the fact that the guy's... If you're different, if you do something weird, if you do something strange, they're going to hate you. As he told AAP in Sydney, I guess that's the Australian Associated Press something, when talking about his forthcoming album of the same name, I actually wanted someone to buy it this time. Enter the oldest publicity trick in the book. There's no denying it. The song is catchy and undoubtedly a summer anthem, but enter here the problem. We cringe at liking it. Oh, isn't that too bad to make you like the song? All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I don't want to like Robin Thicke. I don't like Alan Thicke. I think they're both creepily handsome, and that creeps me out. A man that is handsome but is a creep. Ugh.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I remember Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love when that video came out. It was an amazing video. It was the talk of the music video world. It was the talk of the MTV world. It was the talk of anybody that was listening to or enjoying popular music during those days, the 80s. Robert Palmer was a British, I believe he's British, or he might have been South African.
No, I think he was British.
British. A rhythm and blues singer. Blues singer, rhythm and blues singer. He was in Power Station, one of those quote unquote super groups for a while. He's a good singer, a good looking guy. And for the video for Addicted to Love, they dressed him in a really good looking suit with the silk tie. And he had, I don't know, five or six gorgeous models behind him posing with guitars as if they were members of a backing band. They were all brunettes with this rich red lipstick, deep red lipstick, and tight white dresses, thigh high, you know, and the heels. And these chicks all were posing with these electric guitars. So it's like they're, you know, playing in his band. Everybody's seen the video. If you haven't, you probably have. You just don't remember. But
you don't remember it. Everybody in the video looked good.
Well, true. But so anyway, that was considered by some to be a sexist video. Not by a lot. Margaret, what did you think when it came out?
Frank would probably call and say that I was outraged. Yes, I was outraged. But now I'm not, and now I know it's good. But we don't have to talk about me being outraged. Everyone was outraged by it who was female. So...
Not everybody.
Oh, yes. What, are you going to tell me you had a girlfriend that wasn't?
I was working in radio. I was working in music radio at the time, and every female I knew liked it.
Well, I don't think the world of women in radio is representative, Phil. I don't mean anything by that, but I think you're dealing with a lot of women that will pretty much do anything for upward mobility.
I think that is a really terrible thing to say.
Yeah, that's calling all them like a hooker.
Yeah, like they're going to spread it.
I didn't use the word spread, did I?
Well, pretty much. In any event... The fact is, it was a very popular video. Now, Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines has been causing quite a stink around the world for both its, quote, creepy lyrics and accompanying stark naked pop video. The song has become number one in basically every country around the globe and the fastest-selling single of the year, which must be welcome relief for Thicke, as his last album, Love After War, didn't do so good. Now, this is a writer who obviously is not a big fan of Robin Thicke's. As he told a Sydney news service, Sydney, Australia, when talking about his forthcoming album of the same name, I actually wanted somebody to buy it this time. Okay, that's funny. Enter the oldest publicity trick in the world, so says the writer. There's no denying the song is catchy and undoubtedly a summer anthem. Here is the song, by the way, Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke. Let's not beat around the naked bush. The lyrics are quite rapey, and this video is sexist. There's no way you can dress it as anything other, however hard you try, thick. So, the guy is taking a lot of heat from this writer.
Well, are they naked?
Not yet.
Well, see, I don't like him because he looks like his father, and they're both slobs. Oh, God.
They're both slobs?
Yes.
And is he? No. He was there with a couple of celebrity chicks, but they're all just, well, they're pretty hot-looking women, though.
Would you stop the video? Because I've got all three of the men in here. I'd like everyone to know all three of the men in this studio are looking at that woman's ass.
Hey.
You're looking at her butt. Don't do that.
Talk about what we're looking at.
Easy, Margaret.
You're looking right at her skinny ass.
Don't put your hand over me. Shut up, Margaret.
Put your hand over me.
But don't put your hand on her mouth.
How dare you?
I'm just telling you to shut up.
You put your greasy paws all over me? You look...
Wow!
You put your dirty, oil-ridden mug...
What, Margaret?
You never, ever do that again. Now, I demand you take this video off. You're looking at her...
It's pretty good. I like it.
And the guy, look at that, he put his hand right over his you-know-what.
Over his wiener?
I didn't say wiener, did I?
All right. What'd you do to Bud?
What did I do to Bud? Never mind what I did, he got it.
You didn't have to do that!
Yes, she did. You put your hands on her.
You don't put your hands on me, Bud.
What did he do?
He put his greasy, oily hand over my mouth. The hand that God knows what he's been doing with that hand. Oh.
Well.
I don't want to know. But he put the hand, and I think it's the one. God help me if that's the one he uses for you know what.
No, he just had oil. He's been working on his bike.
And he put it over my mouth. Now look at all of this. So this to you like this.
I think it's a cool tune. I don't know, man. I don't have time to listen to this stuff. I'm just trying to get a feel for what the news story is. Everybody upset about this stuff. There's no chicks that are naked in this thing, man. At least chicks are all fully dressed. And it's pretty funny. And it looks like a lot of fun. And whatever, you know, it's about chicks, and it's about dancing, and it's about dudes, and it's like something that guys are going to dig.
Well, what does that mean?
What does it mean? What do you mean? What does it mean?
And why does it keep popping up with thick, as in hashtag thick?
Because that's what they want them to do. They want people to hashtag thick on Twitter.
Yeah, probably talking about how it's thick and everything.
Boy, you sure did recover from that beating.
You sure did. I'll give you another one.
Take it easy. So that's why he's got the hashtag there, you know, and the song is about whatever. It's a song. It's got a lot of beautiful chicks in it. What do you want? It's some stuff. It doesn't take a brain surgeon, man. It doesn't take a degree in marketing. Oh, what is it about? It's about hot-looking chicks in lingerie and three guys that are checking them out, and they're singing about it, and they're digging it.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
What does it mean? What do you mean, what does it mean?
What is that right there? See that? What is that?
Garters. Those are garter belts on the woman.
Yeah, those are Brazil.
I know.
Robin Thicke has a big, and then, yeah.
Oh, my God. Did it really say that?
It didn't say anything. It said Robin Thicke has a big and then a hashtag thick. See?
So, in other words, what he's doing is this is a blatant marketing attempt at selling the song.
Yes. Isn't that shocking?
Don't treat me like I'm stupid, Phil.
Well, I mean, people act as if, like this dumbass here with this, if you don't like Robin Thicke, if you don't dig his music... Well, whatever. You don't dig his music. I don't know why people take... You can't take music that seriously. You just can't. There's always going to be popular music. There's always going to be pop music. It's always going to rub so-called hip and deep and artistic people the wrong way. And I think that artistic people, in a lot of ways, are silly expecting pop music to be anything other than what it is. Empty, facile, stupid, silly junk. And really, I think the people that have a lot to be ashamed of are not the people that make this kind of fluff. It's the people that expect more. What do you think? It ain't gonna happen, you know?
Well, then what are we... I don't understand what you're saying. So in other words...
In other words, Margaret, what I'm saying is there's always going to be pop music. You can't do anything about it. Complaining about it is complaining that there is a market. Do you want people to get smarter? Do you want people to get hipper? Do you want people to become more more appreciative of good music? We've had thousands of years of music. We've had, you know, have people gotten better with the way they listen to music?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
What have people gotten more sophisticated? We've had, God knows, thousands of years of music. And we've had, today we look at Mozart and we look at those artists and we say, isn't that fantastic music? Well, isn't it true? Weren't they the most popular ones?
Yeah, I believe that it was in a research what I've done.
What research have you done?
Bud's actually looked this stuff up.
Yeah, that music is the popular music.
Well, I know that.
If you know that, then you know that it's the pop music that survives. Who survives from the 60s? Well, the Beatles, the Beach Boys. Who else?
What about the Supremes?
Supremes. I mean, these are all hit bands. They all... Now, who survives from the 70s? I mean, what do we think? We think of, what, disco? I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, who survives from the 80s?
The hair bands. Motley Crue, bands like that.
What about Johnny Hates Jazz?
Johnny Hates Jazz, wow.
Johnny Hates Jazz was wonderful. I thought it was very important music.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Hates Jazz.
What was that?
Crap. So, by and large, and I think that when we get into these arguments about, isn't this just suck-ass music? Hey, man, you know, it's always going to be... There's always going to be music like that. And I think this cat's great. This guy, Robin Thicke, has got it. He's got it all figured out, man. This cat's nobody's fool. He knows exactly what's going to make this a hit. He's got a hit record. The guy's going to be 50 times more popular and wealthy than his old man ever dreamed he could be. And
he'll probably stiff his old man.
What do you mean, stiff his old man?
Well, you can imagine Alan Thicke. He's had a so-so career, and now his son is loaded. Now, here comes the old man on a Sunday morning knocking on the door. Son, can we have a talk? Yes, Dad, come on in. Listen, son, I could use a loan. Things, you know, didn't... Well, I don't know, Dad. You're really bothering me coming around the way you do. I've got guests right now. Would you take off?
How do you know that conversation's going to take place?
When I look at these two creeps...
Yeah, you got all creeped out by them on account of their good looking.
I don't think that good looking...
Yes, you do. That's what you said.
Yeah, you think the two good-looking creeps will backstab each other.
Yes, I do. Nothing says backstab more like two creeps with oiled hair who are related. I won't be laughed at. I'm sorry, Phil. I just...
Okay, you go and make sure there's Bounty towels in there for...
I don't need them, thank you.
All right.
All right, folks, so there you have it. Interesting, huh? Interesting world. All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and join us, won't you, when we launch live our first show of the relaunch. Our first live show of the relaunch will be July 8th, but we continue on June 25th with Comedy Gold for two solid weeks from the archives of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Join us for that, won't you? And join us at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, Wayne, you better... You see, I've defended Lil Wayne in a variety of ways, you know, on Facebook and here on the air, only because I always liked how angry his music is. And when I first heard Lil Wayne's rap music and his hip-hop music clip video slash things...
Boy, you sound just like an old man saying that.
Thank you. What do you want me to say? You know, when I first heard it, I thought, now this is music I can relate to because it's really angry and it's how I feel. I'd like to just, rip a hole in this world right now. And so the man is speaking for me. He's 30. He's black. He's from Atlanta. I'm white from the suburbs of L.A. We're brothers.
All right.
Now then. But now he's got a new video out called God Bless America with a K, which, okay, I can dig that. But he's shown walking on the flag. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of kill 'em all and let 'em die. God bless America, this old godless America. All right. Now, I can understand protests of the nation, of the soul, the life, the culture of the nation, the government of the nation. I understand that. But there's something about walking all over a symbol like the flag that just bugs me. Now, he goes on Facebook, and he attempted to explain the video. It was never my intention to desecrate the flag of the United States of America. I was shooting a video for a song of my off my album entitled God Bless America. The clip that surfaced on the internet was a camera trick clip that revealed that behind the American flag was the hoods of America, he said. In the final edit of the video, you will see the flag fall to reveal what is behind it, but will never see it on the ground. Wayne also went on to explain his lyrics critical of his country. In most people's eyes, including my own, who were raised in that environment, the hood is the only America they know and the only America I knew growing up. I was fortunate from my God-given talents to escape the hood and see the other beautiful places this country has to offer, but most people who are born in that environment don't get that chance. That's their view of their America. That was Dwayne M. Carter from Holly Grove, New Orleans' view of America. That's who I'm speaking for in this song. All right, I understand that. He's attempting to say that I know of the beauty of this nation, but there are those who are still shut out from it because there's environments and there's places in this country that we can't close our eyes to. I understand that. I agree with that. I just don't like the flag getting walked on. Is that too much to ask?
Well, Phil, I think you're being rather fascistic and Nazism. There's a Nazism to what you're saying.
Yeah, there's kind of a Nazism to it.
Oh, get out of here. What am I saying that's so Nazi-like?
You're saying that he has no right to the freedom of the speech.
Yeah, he's got to have freedom of speech. Say what he wants to say.
I'm not saying he doesn't have freedom of speech. I'm not. Did you hear me say that he ought to be arrested or that it ought to be illegal? Did you hear me say that?
No.
I'm just saying I don't like it. I'm just saying I agree with his message that if there are people shut out because of the multitudes of reasons that may not be a person's fault, shut out of the beauty, shut out from the beauty of this country because of their socioeconomic, beginnings, because of the poverty, because, yes, we still have a racial divide. All these things, he grew up in that, he understands that. And he says he's speaking for them, okay, I totally get it. And he's talking about the hood as in where he's from. All of that stuff is cool. It's the flag on the ground getting walked on. Now, he says it's a, quote, a trick clip, a camera trick clip that revealed that behind the American flag was the hoods of America. In the final edit of the video, you will see the flag fall to reveal what is behind it, but will never see it on the ground. So what was seen in the, I guess this clip that was produced, or the clip that is circulating right now, is a production or an outtake, if you will, showing something that's happening that's not a part of a special effect that's going to be seen in the video. But the flag is still on the ground, you know.
So, but it doesn't appear in the video.
It's still on the ground, and it still sucks. I mean, I'm sorry, you know. What do you want from me?
Well, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, you ought to lighten up.
No, I'll never lighten up about that. I'll never lighten up about it, okay? So just forget it.
What are you going to do? Go get the flag away from him?
No, I didn't say I was going to do any of that. You know, if the American flag is in my possession, it never hits the ground, you know, and it's always treated with respect. And that's just how I feel. And I will say to people, hey, why don't you treat the flag with respect? I ain't going to tell them anything. I'm not going to take their flag from them. I'm not going to pass a law. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. Just saying. Is there something wrong with saying it?
Well, it creeps me out. I think it's going to creep out. You have to understand that Lil Wayne he's been bruised, he's been injured by the...
No.
Robert, why are you looking at me all creepy? Don't you agree with me? I'm standing up for your people.
You're not standing up for my people. I'm just waiting for you to say what you want to say.
I'm saying, Robert, you should have more appreciation for, yes, a white woman that is...
Take it. Hold on, Robert. Margaret, what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that Little Wayne has every right in the world to do to that flag what he wants to do, because that's the Constitution of America. Thank you.
Yay, I agree with Ms. Gray.
Good for you. I didn't say that he didn't have the right. You're not listening to me. I didn't say he didn't have the right. I'm just saying I hate to see it, and I wish he would find another way of expressing what he's saying. I think he's doing it very well. I understand the message. And even if it doesn't make it into the video, the clip of him walking on the flag just feels creepy to me. Whatever. People say that it's trivial until you use a symbol that is precious to them. What if that was like the Nation of Islam flag, or maybe not even the Nation? What if that was a flag that just represented something sacred to whomever? You know, what if it was, I don't know, the AIDS quilt? What if it was pictures of people in the neighborhood that meant something serious to people? What if it was...
What do you mean the AIDS quilt, man? You trying to say all the brothers there have AIDS?
No, I'm not trying to say that.
I think that's what you're trying to say, that they're all AIDSed up. Woo!
Yeah, that takes some balls, Phil.
No, I didn't say that. All right, well, anyway, folks, you just heard me get into a typical argument that we have around here on the old radio ranch. Every time I try to make a sensible point, I've got a bunch of people taking it to ridiculous, asinine extremes. Am I trying to say the brothers are AIDSed up?
Well, I mean, I didn't say that, but...
It sounded you were getting there. You were on your way to that.
No, I wasn't. Okay, we'll be back. Speaking of being on our way to something, we're on our way to our final hour here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Stick around. More to come. More frivolity. More fun. More, oh, baby. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here. It's good. It's all good. Welcome back, and final hour here of our broadcast. Nice of you to be with us. We certainly hope that you join us each and every night as we wade our way through the sewage of life.
Well, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but to hear you guys talk, man.
What we do.
Oh, the whole argument you guys are getting into over this, that, something else. I can't, you know, there's so much horse dung that you guys get yourselves involved in, I can't even begin to sort it out. Bud Dickman, you had something?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Phil. The Sesame Street has a character that's the dad's in jail. And on a Sesame Street, grab your ankles and drop your trousers.
Wait a minute, what do you mean grab your ankles and drop your trousers?
He's misreading. It says, grab your hankies, you jackball.
What?
Are you reading the story about Sesame Street?
Yeah, it says, grab your ankles and grab your socks.
No, grab your hankies. To help kids coping with a parent in prison, Sesame Street...
I'll do it.
Well, then do it. Do it right.
I tried to give an editorializing opinion, and you're butchering it alive.
Well, Phil, you can't say, grab your ankles and drop your pants.
Why not?
What's that got to do with the story?
Ain't it about prison?
It's a kid's story, man. It's about grab your ankles and drop your pants. It's a prison story.
Yeah. And Sesame Street is going to have a character whose dad is in prison.
Man, I think that's wrong. Why do they have the have that?
Because there's kids who've got dads that are in prison. What are you going to do? It's a way of helping kids somehow find their way in this bloody world. You know, the more I read about crime...
Oh, Phil, please, not now. Don't start giving us your sociological view of life.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I mean...
Oh, is that right? Well, here I am hearing from the liberal here, too.
Yes, I am a liberal. I'm a proud liberal. And my liberalism and the liberalism that I represent is a proud liberalism. Proud. And I'm not going to use the platform of this program to squat and go whenever I feel like it and go, ha, 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 ha. That's not me. That's not Margaret Gray. When I feel there's an important point to make, I will stand proudly on that platform.
Yeah, you gotta step around what people did on it.
I'll step around what people did. That's not... I will proudly stand on the platform.
Didn't you just say you'd squat on it?
What I'm saying is the following thing. If there are children whose parents are in prison or in jail, then we need to acknowledge that. But we don't need another speech from a reformed conservative who now believes that the liberal way is the new way, is the bold way. The new way says that we must kowtow to the conservative who's reinventing himself as the new way.
Well, thank you, Anthony Burgess.
Oh, you think I'm ripping off Clockwork Orange?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm not.
Okay, fine.
I'm not, Phil.
Fine. Grab Your Hankies. To help kids coping with a parent in prison, Sesame Street created a Muppet who's fought...
I'll do it. Grab your socks, or I'm sorry, grab your hankies and pull your pants up. To kid...
There's nothing in there that says pull your pants up.
Sorry. Grab it and pull... Well...
Does that kind of butcher your report?
Pretty much, man, because he sculpted the whole report around that.
Yeah, pretty much just going to do the whole report about pulling your pants up. What's so funny?
You are. I'll do it. Grab Your Hankies. To help kids coping with a parent in prison, Sesame Street created a Muppet whose father can't play with him because he's in jail. Sesame Street has always made it a part of its larger mission to address all children, not just the ones with traditional families or easily digestible experiences. In the latest move toward that goal, the popular children's program created an online toolkit titled Little Children, Big Challenges, Incarceration, for those struggling to raise a child who has an incarcerated parent. Released in time for Father's Day in the U.S., the toolkit has its detractors, U.S. radio host and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who, of course, has no concern at all for children, or for that matter, adults. He's just a guy out to sell as many CDs and books as he possibly can before he croaks. He naturally went into a full-blown conspiracy theory mode, calling it a propaganda program designed to help children accept the fact that daddy is in jail by dangerously telling kids that all you have to do is talk about your feelings, draw a few pictures, write letters to your dad, and toddle off to visit him in jail every now and then, and everything will be all rainbows and lollipops. That's what Alex Jones says the show is trying to tell kids. And the editorial comment here is, better to tell him what then, if not that. I mean, we are talking about kids, and I don't begrudge a guy making a living. I mean, if Alex Jones wants to spew whatever crap, good for you, man. You're making a beautiful dollar, and I got to hand it to you, man. You know me. Whether it's Oral Roberts, whether it's Jimmy Swaggart, I'm doing the French, Margaret.
Yes, very good. Jimmy Swaggart or Jimmy Swaggar.
Jimmy Swaggar. Or Jim Baker. Or it's, what's the guy, this guy here, Alex Jones, who, no matter who the jive ass is, I don't begrudge him a living. Some of my greatest heroes are cats that are so full of crap their eyes are brown, right? But all I'm saying is, when it comes to kids and the problems we have in society now, whether it is the violence of young people, whether it's the sociopathy, whether it's the abuse of a kid turning into antisocial behavior, whatever it is, I mean, we've got to find a way to fix it. Now, you know what they're finding here? Now, get a load of this. This is a very interesting thing. This is very interesting. You're going to love this. You're not going to love it, but babies, as you probably know, babies that are not picked up and held and do not receive human touch and the human caress and basically a little bit of human love, physical love, they die. I mean, they literally die. There's a name for it. I don't remember what it is. It's not sudden death syndrome, none of that. It is an actual condition that results from not having had contact. A baby will die. Now, in Romania, prior to the fall of the dictatorship of Ceausescu, because Romania did not allow abortion, and did not allow abortion, I mean this, there were institutions in Romania, as you know, filled with unadopted children, filled with orphans. Many of those children were adopted and brought to the United States following the fall of the communist regime in Romania. You know the stories. Many of these kids were unable to cope here in the United States. A lot of them were sent back. I don't know what happened to the rest. The reason was that these kids had suffered from a significant lack of human contact. These children, we now know, grow up to become antisocial types. They can grow up to become, in the very least, these sort of internet trolls that go out and call people names, and they've got no real intrapersonal skill at all. And in the very worst, become quite a pain in the ass. They're very sociopathic. If not that, then they're just disconnected from themselves and from life. And this is a cause of crime. This is a cause of antisocial behavior. The fact that there are children that are just not even picked up and held. So when you're talking about orphans, or talking about children that are adopted, or talking about kids that were taken from the birth parents and now they're into a new home, what happened between those two periods? What happened between the time the kid left the home of the parent that could no longer care for them and the kid got into the home of a parent that wants to adopt them and take care of them? That period in between is really significant. Because if there was no physical contact, if there was no real physical nurturing or love of any kind, that's a severely damaged kid. And let me tell you something, that is a hard one to overcome. So it is important how kids are treated. It is important how kids come to understand the world around them. And the better that we can help them understand it, the better this country is going to be. I mean, I'm just hoping, you know, I'm looking out for the country here.
What are you talking about? Kid can't get go know about a dad being in jail and everything?
Why don't you shut up, man? You don't know what you're talking about.
You shut up. What? Is your dad in jail?
Why, you lousy... Hey! Your ass, man.
Your dad's in jail, bud.
No, not anymore.
Ha ha, not anymore. What a Fruit Loop.
Take it easy. So, boy, one of the more despicable things that we do in this country is get our laughs at the expense of kids, or we sell something at the expense of a kid. Here's Alex Jones saying, yeah, kid, this is all you got to do. Well, what's your answer, Alex, other than making more money, you fat ass? You thick-necked clown. Now, it's a fascinating problem that we have, and either we're going to start dealing with it seriously or not, you know. One of the things about America is that we encourage individualism. Because we encourage individualism, we encourage people to sort of focus on self and on empowering oneself and going out and getting what we need and getting what we want and being independent and being standing on our own 2 feet. And whether we like it or not and whether we know it or not, we're kind of encouraging a kind of a narcissism. And that is fertile ground for sociopathic people. So if you want to know why we got this crazed crime problem where guys are just opening up and killing people, or we have the solution to the problem is to just go out, pick up a gun and kill somebody, it's because, yeah, we do have a culture that is damaging to already sociopathic or antisocial people. It's not damaging to everybody, just people that are already on their way to that place.
Well, are you saying then that we must censor culture? Because that's, you're going back on everything you've ever said.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you said that you...
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you said you did.
What a moron, man. You can't even get the word out.
I got it out. He, well...
No, you didn't get it out. You went, you.
No, no, Phil. You can't talk about Bud edging on into Gloyd land. You've got to address this directly.
All right, I'm addressing it directly. For people that are already sociopathic or psychopathic, people that are already damaged, yeah, culture sends a message to them, in America especially, go ahead and empower yourself and do your thing. Those people will pick up a gun and go out and kill somebody. In a society that says you have responsibility to your fellow man, and there are societies like that, especially the Far East, you have some connection to your fellow man, you can mute what a sociopath or a psychopath may do. It's all this reading I'm doing. I'm sorry, I'm reading a lot of books, you know.
That's a problem, you're reading all them books.
Well, reading books is fine, but reading some of the books that you read, Buddy, I don't want to be around you when you get done reading them.
Yeah, well, you're going to be around me because I'm on the air. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Truth.
What does that mean?
Is
I'm going to be around you.
You
the
are.
The Phil Henry Show.
I read them and I'm on the air.
Well, that doesn't mean I've got to be around you.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. One other thing in this book that I'm reading, the sociopath. Who is that?
It's David Hall.
David.
Oh, will you get off this kick already and start getting back to the laughs? I've been driving around here for the last half hour and listening about psychopath, sociopath. Daphne is.
I don't want to hear about your girlfriend.
Well, Phil, I'm not trying to tell you. The girl has been eating, and I know she likes donuts. I understand that. But I'm trying to tell you that the message creates anxiety. She's eating, yes, donuts. She has got me going around the corner. You want to go back to Tom's? I got to go back to Winchell's. She's not even waiting for the car to come to a stop. I'm asking, will you wait for the car to stop, honey? Don't open the door. She's opening the door and trying to jump out.
And you're blaming me for that.
I'm saying that you talking about psychopaths has got her nervous. We got to wait for the car to stop. It's got her nervous, and she's wanting me to make a run back here to Winchell's. They don't have any more of those, honey. Wait for the car to stop, for God's sake. She's got the door open, and I'm still doing 40. You've got the door?
That's not my problem, David.
I'm asking you.
You don't have any control over the editorial content of the show. Dry up, and I hope that Daphne gets her crueler.
Now wait just a minute. You can't play hard.
Okay.
Well, Phil, what's the point?
Here's the point. You know, if you want to talk about heaviosity, man, I'm laying it on you right now, okay? This is what's causing the problems in our country. You want to know the truth? I'm laying it on you. You know, let me ask you this. You know, last February, a war hero, Chris Kyle, was murdered on a gun range by an Iraq war veteran. He was shot to death. He was killed on this gun range as he was attempting to help a fellow Iraq veteran deal with his reentry into society. He was murdered, and he was murdered by way of a gun. The first thing I heard was the following thing. What was it? We have to deal with the stress that our veterans are dealing with. Nobody said anything about gun control, did they?
Well, I mean, that's soldiers and stuff.
I don't care if it's soldiers and stuff. I didn't hear anybody say, wow, we really got to limit the access of guns to these guys that are just back from Iraq. They may kill somebody. Well, the first thing we heard, and I'm telling you, it was a healthy thing. They didn't go there. They went immediately to the mental health question. And every veteran would probably agree with it. Every conservative and every gun rights guy would probably agree with it. But by God, if you apply that solution to the society in general, all of a sudden, they don't like it. All of a sudden, we need more cops. We don't need health care. We need cops. Why?
Well, because they're veterans and they are, I don't know. I'm just sick and tired.
No. You're not getting away with it that easy. No. Here we had a man, Chris Kyle, he was killed. I'm not saying there should be gun control. I agree with the solution. The solution is we need counseling. We need to decompress these veterans. We need to learn more about post-traumatic stress syndrome. We need to obviously know how to deal with them far more in a safer manner than Chris Kyle found himself dealing with that one guy. But nobody said anything about gun control. If that happens outside in the regular world, it's all about gun control. If you want to bring up mental health issues, oh, forget that. That's jive ass. That's Obama. Happens on a gun range to a veteran, the crime committed by a fellow veteran. Nobody says anything about gun control. It's all about mental health. Well, what the hell makes that different from what's going on in our world today? If you want to say it is, but you're not quite sure how, you know, So this is a problem, and it's about the head. Now, I'll tell you one more thing. I heard about, in reading this book, the Inuit people. These are the people in Alaska. These are Native American people, a tribe and an ancient tribe going back thousands of years in Alaska. The Inuit people have a concept in their culture that covers sociopathic people, men especially. These are the men that don't go out on the hunt. These are the men that stayed back in the village and harassed the women. These are the men that stayed back in the village and had sex with the wives of the hunters. These are the guys that stole. These are the guys that generally sort of just, you know, made their way through life by living off of, leeching off of, without any conscience, other members of the tribe. So there's a concept known to these people for thousands of years. Guess how they deal with it?
They, what, about a sociopath?
Yeah, the Inuit people. According to the psychiatric anthropologist Jane Murray, the Inuit people would force this guy to come out with them. The men would force this guy to come out with them on the hunt. And when no one was looking, because they considered these individuals to be irredeemable, they considered them to be beyond the help of the tribe or the people. These are people that figured this one out probably hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, before we were able to figure it out. They would force this guy out onto the hunt with them, and when no one was around to see, they'd push him off the edge of the ice.
To his death.
To his death.
Well, those are Indians and stuff.
Oh, really? Well, they must be real primitive people.
I think that was wrong of you to bring that up, because it undermines...
What, does it undermine your whole trip?
You're saying that they...
Death penalty. You better believe that's what I'm saying. Now, I don't know, because this is it's a whole different dynamic in that society. You know, these are hunter-gatherer people. Everything is very interconnected anyway. A guy like that, who has been a pain in the ass for God knows how many years, he's been having sex with the wives of the men, he's been stealing, he doesn't go on the hunt with them. They use as the catch-all solution death. Yeah, they push this guy off a cliff and they kill him. Now, has he been guilty of killing people? Maybe not.
Well, so what they're doing is they're murdering that man because he stole some buffalo meat.
Yeah, just on account of he stole a whale blubber.
What do you mean, whale blubber?
Well, how do you know what a guy done?
I'm talking about from the literature that I read by this anthropologist named Jane Murray. She said this is a guy known in the Inuit culture, the psychopath, who's a guy that steals. He has relations with the wives. He is engaging in real antisocial behavior. They just decide enough is enough. They force him to come out on the hunt. You know, you haven't been on the hunt with us for a long time. You got to come out. Every man's expected to. And this clown, he hangs back in the village, you know.
What's he doing? Hanging around and smoking cigarettes and anything like that?
I don't know. What do you mean, hanging around smoking cigarettes?
Brother, hanging around reading dirty magazines.
Yeah, I'm sure they got a lot of dirty magazines there in the teepee. Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You said teepee. That's racist.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, I got everybody staring at me with a bulkhead stare here.
Well, of course we're going to stare at you with a bulkhead stare, Phil.
David's on the phone, too.
David, I'm sorry I got to hang up on you, man.
Well, you know, you're hanging up on me while I got a girlfriend hanging out of the door, and she's on her way to this cruller shop. Now, I wasn't saying don't talk about it. I'm just saying you're scaring her, and she is in, and what she's doing is trying to jump out of the car, so I've got to take her home. I don't know what's going on.
She been drinking?
No, she's not drinking. She's been listening to you.
Oh, it's my fault that she's got the door open while you're going 40 waiting to jump out at a donut shop.
You don't have to say it like that because she just got out again. Where are you going now? Oh, Jesus. Hold on. The what? They got taffy in here, saltwater taffy. I got to pull around the corner here and get her. You know, it's the middle of the night here, Phil.
But that's not my problem, David. Why are you telling me?
Because she's jumping out of the car now for saltwater taffy.
Yeah, and?
David, I have to go with Phil on this one. Why don't you just get control over this woman?
You don't understand. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. This woman is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It's a miracle. I mean, how do I say it?
Okay, she's the perfect woman.
Yes.
And you know what? If you keep letting her jump out of the car to get crullers and saltwater taffy, she ain't going to be the perfect woman for long.
What's that supposed to mean?
Exactly what it sounds like it means.
Which is what?
What are you talking about?
David, if she keeps jumping out of the car for crullers, she's going to pack the fat on.
Yeah, she's going to pack the fat on. Because Henry's there talking about all that psycho stuff. I don't know what it's about.
I just don't have time to talk to you, man. I got to get going, all right?
Thanks a lot. I got a girlfriend with her big fat ass.
This guy is something beautiful, man.
But what are you doing? Talk about it.
It ain't my problem. What do you mean, what am I talking about it for?
You talk about having a saltwater, his girlfriend going out. That bad.
Are you guys trying to tell me not to talk about certain things on the air because David's girlfriend may pack a few more pounds on her ass from saltwater taffy and crullers?
In a word, yes.
Yeah. That ain't gonna happen, man. I got news for yous. Ain't gonna happen. All right.
Steve Gutenberg write this?
No, Steve Gutenberg, the actor? No, it was a writer named Steve Gutenberg, not the actor. Weird, man. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here anyway to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we were watching that Robin Thicke video. That ain't bad at all, baby. Okay, how about this one? Watermelon Oreos. Yes, the latest twist on an iconic cookie. Watermelon in cookie form. The perfect summer food.
What are you looking at, man?
I'm just looking at you, that's all.
But don't be looking at Robert because we're talking about watermelon because you like it probably even more than he does.
No, I don't. That's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
How can I like watermelon more than a black guy can?
A lot of white people do, you dumbass.
See what he says to me? He says that I'm a dumbass all the time.
Because you are a dumbass.
Don't look at him because the word watermelon comes up, bud. We don't look at you every time the word dog do comes up.
Yeah, right. Like I eat that for a snack.
You never know.
Yeah, well, we don't look at you.
Watch it,
okay? Because I don't need another fist fight. Watermelon in cookie form, the perfect summer food? Well, Nabisco hopes Oreo purists and non-fans alike will be taking a bag of the new limited edition fruit-flavored... What the hell? Fruit-flavored cookies to their next picnic? I don't know, maybe it's good. The watermelon Oreos, available only at Target, for $3 a package, feature a bright pink and green cream filling between two vanilla-flavored cookies. Oh. The cream bears a strong resemblance to Play-Doh.
These writers are atrocious. They're trying to ruin, to wreck Nabisco's one chance at a comeback.
What do you mean a comeback?
Well, other than the Oreo, they haven't got anything going on.
Nabisco? You got to be out of your mind.
Nabisco, man, they got all the good ones.
Like what?
Nabisco has graham crackers. Nabisco has,
What about a Ritz?
No, they don't have Ritz. That's someone else.
They do have Ritz. Nabisco is Ritz. Nabisco is the graham cracker. Nabisco's got all the good ones.
Well, I don't know what you... What's your reference point?
What's my reference point? Look up Nabisco in a search engine, okay?
Really? Really? A search engine? Phil, off the top of your head, let's see what you know.
I just gave you. Oreos, graham crackers, and Ritz crackers. I'll bet you money that Nabisco is the numero uno of all the cracker guys.
Yeah, when you talk about cracker, you got to be talking about Bisco.
Yeah, unless we're talking about you.
Yeah, you think you're so funny.
What do you mean, Bisco?
If you're talking cracker, man, you talk about Bud Dickman.
Yeah, stutter much? God, man.
Yeah, I talk better than you.
Take it easy. It's called Nabisco.
Yeah, okay. But he was saying that I agree with you. I think Nabisco is the best.
Nabisco?
Phil, when are you going to get a guy as a sidekick that wasn't run through a combine first? This guy.
Yeah. In any event, food bloggers have plenty to say about the new summer flavor. We're going to get Chef Carl Cedilia on the line with us. He, as you know, works with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He is the chef there at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And Chef Carl, knocking off for the night, is at his home. Where do you live, Chef Carl?
I'm living in West Hollywood right now, Phil.
West Hollywood. And it's great to talk with you tonight.
Oh, it's great to be with you, and I'm glad you're talking about the disco. One of my favorite things is the Bisco Graham Cracker. You know, the Bisco Graham Cracker can be used for a variety of different things.
Chef Charles, Carl, this is Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
Now, Nabisco has, Phil, according to Phil, Nabisco is riding high. Is that your understanding?
Well, you know, I don't really know the answer to that, Margaret, but I can tell you that the Bisco Graham Cracker, the Graham Cracker alone has been responsible for so many great recipes. That's an ingredient and a main component of a lot of recipes. Where would we be without the Nabisco Graham Cracker when it comes to lemon meringue pie? You know?
What? I don't understand what you said. It sounds like you got goo in your throat.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I know. I'm speaking. You know, I can tell you I'm a little bit tired tonight.
Would you just let me talk to Chef Chordilia, okay?
Yeah, it sounds like he's
sounds like he took one off the chin.
Well, I can assure you that when it comes to taking one off of the chin.
You live in West Hollywood.
You know something, Bud, I think that I know you better than that, and I know you're not a bigot.
Yeah, Bud, I don't like those comments either, okay?
And,
well, let me just come right out and ask, are you gay?
And no, I'm not gay. No, I'm not. I've had girlfriends up at Barry, but not the 20 Bears. I'm just, you know, I live in West Hollywood because it's close to 10 of Beverly Hills. And I like it here. It's got good restaurants and the bistro.
What's are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just thinking about a graham cracker.
Okay, Chef Carl Chedilia with us. You mentioned the graham cracker. It is a major component in a lot of really delicious desserts. And you mentioned the crust of the lemon meringue. Oh, baby. Is there anything better than that?
That is true. The lemon meringue crust made with a liberal sprinkling of the graham cracker.
Yeah, the lemon meringue. And about the s'mores.
What about when you're cooking up a marshmallow?
Yeah, Bob, that's right. When you cook up a marshmallow, it's good. It's
Well, what do you mean cook up a marshmallow?
No, but what's that thing they call put a chocolate on it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about s'mores.
Oh, s'mores.
Yeah. You put a chocolate and put a marshmallow. I mean, you put a marshmallow in the pecan, and it's really, really great. So, boy, I'm salivating thinking about it here.
Oh, Chef Carl Chedilia with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Chef Carl is the main... are you the head chef there?
I'm the head chef. There's more in Ted's of Beverly Hills, Phil, than just the desserts. Of course, they have delicious steaks and everything.
Well, have you had these Oreo cookies that taste like watermelon?
I try to stay away from anything, and I don't. I'm trying to be as delicate as I can. I don't eat any food that black people.
What's that? You don't like black people?
Robert, I don't. I'm sorry.
Wait! Hold on for just a minute.
What is that about?
I just don't like blacks. But everything else, I love dessert. All the food, I will serve black people, and I don't like what you people eat, and I don't like anything about you.
So you're talking about you're a bigot or something? You're a racist.
You're a racist, huh, Chef Carl?
I'm a racist. I don't.
Well, you know, everybody's entitled to have a couple of character flaws.
Ow! Shut up, man.
Well, you know, I don't like blacks, and so I don't, the watermelon, the Oreo cookie, you know, the only reason why I have that around my house would be to make fun of, you know, black people with it.
You don't like blacks? Where are you from?
I originally am from California, Southern California. I was born down in Hemet.
In Hemet, and this not liking black people started where?
It's just the fact that I just decided I didn't like fried chicken, and I thought, the hell with it. You know, I just won't like black people.
So, in other words, you don't like certain foods, and you associated those with black people.
Yes, I did. Greens. Watermelon, fried chicken, ribs, all of that I don't like. And then someone said, well, that's what black people like. I said, well, I don't like them either.
Well, I got to tell you, Chef Carl, you went from being a guy that I really like because you make a great meal and you've got a great menu at Chef's of at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now I don't particularly like you.
Well, I understand that. But, you know, I hope you still come in to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Do you, if there's black patrons...
I don't care. That's fine. Because I'm in the kitchen. I can't see them.
All right, Chef Carl Cedilia, thanks a lot. What about that?
So here's a guy that sounds like he's got a throat full of you-know-what.
Yeah, and he doesn't even like no black people.
Man, I tell you, that
we ought to talk to Ted about that. Get Ted on the phone and...
Want to call him right now?
No, we had him on earlier tonight. Let's talk to him tomorrow night about it. Maybe we'll get Chef Carl back on.
I don't want to listen to that guy, man. If he don't like black people, I don't like him. I'm not going to sit here on that.
You got to be objective about it.
Oh, shut up, bud. All you're trying to do is stir it up. Chef Carl Cedilia, he likes graham crackers, he likes this, that, but he doesn't like black people.
Yes, that is quite a shock, isn't it? Well, his desserts still kick ass.
Hey, what the hell is this anyway? You guys are still going to patronize that place?
What are you talking about? We're supposed to boycott Ted's?
Yeah, right.
Of course you should boycott Ted. You boycott Ted to Beverly Hills until he gets rid of that sumbitch.
Well, now, wait just a minute, Robert. You know that I'm liberal.
No, you're not liberal. If you go to Ted to Beverly Hills...
But my husband goes there.
Look, at everybody goes to Ted's.
Well, not anymore. If you want me working around here...
Well, and I guess we're just going to have to do without you.
Shut up, bud. Maybe we'll do without you. Let's get him on tomorrow night and we'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be around for that.
You got to be here on account of you work here.
I have to agree with that, Robert. You have to, as a journalist, you have to sit and you've got to suck it up sometimes.
Well,
I agree, Robert. I remember that I had to sit through the Iraq War.
You were sitting in Italy in a Spencer hotel.
That is a filthy lie. It's true, but it's also a lie. Yes, it's true I was in Italy during the Iraq War, but it's a lie to think that I didn't suffer.
In a luxury hotel.
You'll never understand.
Yeah, okay, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our
bitch. You
gotta
be here tomorrow.
Don't tell me, man. I don't work for you.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
I gotta tell you, that Russell Brand, man, for a buck-toothed, bug-eyed looking limey, excuse my French.
Well, that was very racist.
No, it's not racist.
Well, what do you call it, Phil? A buck-toothed, bug-eyed limey. Woo!
Yeah, that's about talk about an English person race.
No, it ain't. I'm just saying, that guy's got a pair on him, man, dumping Katy Perry by way of a text. Woo! Man, I guess life must be good, man. Not only are you a bug-eyed, buck-toothed comic from England, which ain't bad necessarily, but you got Katy Perry throwing it all over you, and you're wiping it off like it's yesterday's egg, if you'll pardon the expression. Anyway, in the past, Katy Perry has shied away from publicly discussing her divorce from comedian Russell Brand, but in a new interview with Vogue, or what would that be in the French, Margaret?
Vogue.
The singer reveals that their relationship and their split was hardly a teenage dream. He's a very smart man, a magical man, and I was in love with him when I married him, Perry said. However, things with Brand, who Perry said was controlling, are anything but magical these days. Let's just say I haven't heard from him since he texted me saying he was divorcing me December 31st, 2011. Wow.
Oh, my God, that's a year and a half.
She hasn't heard from him in a year and a half. Dumped by a text message on New Year's Eve? Ouch. The pop star continued to dish on life after Brand. You know, I dumped a really beautiful woman a couple times, and then I took her back both times, and then she got me back and dumped me, but then I dumped her after she dumped me.
Well, how does that work?
I don't know, but somehow we got each other back. The pop star continued to dish on life after Brand, stating that she once caught him making fun of her during a performance post-split. He's hysterical in some ways until he started making jokes about me and he didn't know I was in the audience because I'd come to surprise him at one of his shows. So hysterical to a point. Yeah, well, you know, when the jokes are at your expense.
Oh, I see. So when he's making fun of other people, Katie, you think it's a laugh riot. But all of a sudden, when he squats over you and you have to towel off, then you don't like it. And I understand. I think this is a lesson in life. When you stand there holding your side with snot coming out of your nose, while some other poor boob is getting it from your husband, being psychically and emotionally ripped right up the, you know, where the You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. You don't have to spell it out, Margaret.
All right. So psychically and emotionally, your husband, Katie, is tearing some poor boob apart, ripping that person to shreds. And you're laughing, holding your sides, snot pouring down your nose, until he turns around, looks at you, and then remembers your bed farts. Now how do you feel, darling?
Why do you whisper that stuff?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I didn't whisper. I just don't want the whole world hearing it.
The whole world is hearing it. We're on the radio. Okay?
Don't you dare yell at me, Mr. Hendry.
I don't care, Margaret. The whole world, when you go,
bed farts. Russell Brand is making Katy Perry laugh so hard, snot and boogers.
How do you know? How do you know all of this?
I can well imagine.
All right, so let's say he is.
Yes. And then he turns around, and rightfully so, and says, oh, and by the way, Katy, darling, my lovely wife, here are a few truths about you. And suddenly it hurts. It hurts a lot. And now she doesn't want him saying these things. I think it is hypocrisy at its most degenerate. I think it is hypocrisy and a double standard at its most disgusting and degenerate and Byzantine.
What's that mean?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't, I'm not going to argue with your point. I think it's a good point that it's always fun and games until it happens to us. You know, just as the saying goes, it's fun and games until someone gets hurt. So while Perry admitted that her constant touring played a major role in the relationship's demise, she hints of a bigger underlying reason for the divorce, but declined to elaborate. I felt a lot of responsibility for it ending, but then I found out the real truth, which I can't necessarily disclose because I keep it locked in my safe for a rainy day. Uh-oh.
Think it's probably because he can't do it?
Well, it doesn't exactly sound like it's, was he cheating on her?
Well, it could be that he's cheating on her.
Well, what? That's not such a big secret. I think that's probably what people would guess.
So what are you saying? That he was stuck in neutral or however you guys put it?
I don't know. Perry also revealed, she says she's keeping it locked in her safe for a rainy day, so it's obviously something he knows. Or maybe he doesn't.
Well, he wouldn't know. I mean, if he's stuck in neutral.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to speculate. Perry also revealed the real truth about her much-publicized on-and-off relationship with singer John Mayer, refuting claims that she only dated Mayer to get revenge on Brand. No, I was madly in love with him. I still am madly in love with him, she said. All I can say about that relationship is that he's got a beautiful mind, tortured soul. I do have to figure out why I am attracted to these broken birds. Aha! I know why you're attracted to them, because you can fix them.
Phil, don't be mocking women and their good intentions.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's why you chicks go for these guys, because you can fix them. You can fix them, and then you can look like a real brain surgeon because you made the guy, and you'll never fix the guy. What's going to happen to you, Katie? It'll happen again and again and again and again. You keep going after these broken birds because it makes you feel superior. If you go after a guy that's okay, if he's well and he's healthy, then you may be inferior to that guy, and what good are you, right? What good is any woman if she can't fix a man? I've been through this. I know. Thank you. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Where are you going?
I'm feeling insulted.
Oh, get out of here, Mark. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for a live streaming video of the Phil Hendry Show, as well as our archives, as well as so many other marvelous things. With a backstage pass, it's all yours. All right, sports fans. Until tonight at 10, 1 o'clock Eastern, let all of that, let every bit of it, be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.